Hallo und welcome to the talk Digital Freedom with Youth and Education, Schulfrei. In the following talk, we are going to explain how the project Schulfrei brings free digitization to schools and how it includes young contributors. Before we start, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Benedikt Zuska, I'm 17 years old and I live in Wuppertal in Germany. I'm a student in the 11th grade and I am a member of Tickets EV. My personal interests are home automation, working on projects in hackerspaces with friends, as long as it was possible before the pandemic, and I like to make music.
My name is Felix. I am a member of Tickets and also of Schulfrei.
Who is Tickets EV and what is the Schulfrei project? Tickets EV is a free software youth organization and so far we know the only one. Our headquarters is in Germany, but we work internationally, like right now at Fosdem. Our goal is to set up a free software community for children and adolescents. At Tickets we have three projects, Hackenfun, Leopard and Schulfrei. In Hackenfun, children can have the first contact to free software while using it at workshops. Schulfrei allows young people to contribute to the development, and in Leopard they can improve their skills by visiting and planning sessions. We also host instances of Moodle, BigBlueButton and Jitsi for educational organizations, and we contribute to educational FOSS. Schulfrei is a project of Tickets EV and its name is a German pun. Our mission is to show schools, etc. how to use free, open and secure software. Therefore, we select high quality educational free software and present it schools. For presenting high quality software, we bring schools, developers and consulting companies together and give opportunities for participation to this project. I know I don't have to explain the advantages of free software to the visitors of Fosdem a lot, but I think we should show the advantages which schools can profit from. Educational establishments are independent from single suppliers, like Apple, Microsoft and so on, which can restrict the usage of the software unnecessarily or integrate hidden costs for special functions. Several organizations or companies can offer long-term support and schools are not bounded on special hardware. An example is Apple's educational system and the iPad. If a school don't have to use always the latest hardware, it can save a lot of money. We think software should adapt to the school and not the other way, and education shouldn't be commercialized. Adaptability enables contribution, and being a contributor is a strong learning opportunity. Education is an important use case of many software packages. We also know that young people don't just use software at school, but in their free time too. By playing video games, using multimedia and office software, or using an operating system and web clients, young people gained a lot of experience and a point of view which adults don't have. If we know that children and adolescents are the main consumer of software in school, why should they not be integrated into development? Every group of persons can bring diversity into a project, but students should not be missing at a project that develops software they will use. So all users should be considered contributors, but contribution doesn't mean that every young person has to be integrated into difficult development. Even the smallest kind of contribution, which can be asking questions of understanding, are valuable. Any project that wants to benefit from contributions must enable learners to become contributors, and that can be just realized if beginners are contributors as a stepping stone. But today, young users are a marginalized minority in the FOSS world. Young people face restrictions compared to adults. These are often unnecessary and imposed due to commercial interests of platforms. Now I will talk about the negative examples of platform that exclude some group of persons, like young persons. GitHub, GitLab, Slack, Zoom, or Discord are such platforms. They're all American platforms, and